a walk and a talk with him. And I just stopped what I was doing for a moment. And I just started to share my heart with him. And I'll be honest with you, that was the best part of my whole week. Mm-hmm. God was, he was just longing for me to share my heart with him just for a few minutes. And it's indescribable. I wouldn't exchange it for anything in the world. And I have a few moments here today to be in his house, to express, to share my heart with him. And that's all he really desires. Just a heartfelt, Lord, I just want to share what you've done to me. You desire to share it with me, yourself with me, your heart and your mind, your time, your presence with me. I want to share my heart with you these next few moments because I take it as precious.
Yes,
our time is precious.
It is.
Our who we spend time with is precious. And this moment here is precious to him. And in return, I want to share a heartfelt moment in worship and time with him. Can we worship the Lord with our heart, with everything in our mind, in Jesus' name, Lord? You are so worth it.
Yes,
you are
God.
Worthy of it. You're worthy of our time. You're worthy of our devotion. You're worthy, Lord, to put everything else aside, Lord, and give it to you, Lord. You deserve it, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. Forgive us of our distractions and what we put in front of you, Lord. May we put them behind us, Lord, and put you first and foremost right here, right now, here today, in Jesus' name. Let's worship the Lord together.
What a powerful name it is.
Event that he had on Thursday, and so many of you know that that is the day that the tornadoes were happening. So I landed and I get texts from Jenna. She was keeping my kids, and a couple of my neighbors text me, and all I have to say is I am so thankful. We pray over those kids every night and every day. God, keep your angels around them. In Jesus' name, protect them. I can't drive that bus. I can't be in the halls of those schools, let alone I'm not enough anyhow. I couldn't help a tornado. God is bigger than I am. Even the mother's love, God is bigger than. And I am so thankful for the power that is in his name. I can't tell you how many times his name has comforted me by just calling on his name. His name brings healing. His name brings restoration.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I'm thankful for your name.
Thank you, God.
Oh, hallelujah. I'm so grateful to know that I can call on your name.
Invested in your name.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Thank you, God.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, God. Yes.
If there's anything that the apostolic message sends that I hold so, so dear to my heart. It is the revelation and the power in the name of Jesus.
Yes,
that,
yes.
That he is one. Thank you,
yes,
Lord.
Yes, yes, yes.
Thank you, Jesus. Give me a second. Worship with us as we sing this next song.
This is how I fought my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I fight my battles. 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 It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. Like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I fight my battle. This is how I fight my battle. This is how I fight my battle. This is how I find 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 my battle. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I fight my battle. This is how I fight my battle. This is how I fight my battle. This is how I fight my battles. 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 It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. Like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. Thank you. defeated. Death couldn't hold you down. We're gonna lift our voice in victory. We're gonna make your praises loud. The enemy has been defeated. Death couldn't hold you down. We're gonna lift our voice in victory. We're gonna make your praises loud. The enemy has been defeated. Hold you down. We're gonna lift our voice in victory. We're gonna make your praises loud. Shout out to God with a voice of triumph. Shout out to God with a voice of praise. Shout out to God with a voice of triumph. We lift your name up. We lift your name up. Shout out to God with a voice of triumph. Shout out to God with a voice of praise. Shout out to God with a voice of triumph. We lift your name up, we lift your name up. Shout out to God with a voice of triumph. Shout out to God with a voice of praise. Shout out to God with a voice of triumph. We lift your name up. The enemy has been defeated. Couldn't hold you down. We're gonna lift our voice in victory. We're gonna make your praises loud. The enemy has been defeated. Death couldn't hold you down. We're gonna lift our voice in victory. We're gonna make your praises loud. Shout out to God with a voice of triumph. Shout out to God with a voice of praise. Shout out to God with a voice of triumph. We lift your name up, we lift your name up. Shout out to God with a voice of triumph. Shout out to God with a voice of praise. Shout out to God with a voice of triumph. We lift your name up. He has been defeated. Couldn't hold you down. We're gonna lift our voice in victory. We're gonna make your praises loud. The enemy has been defeated. Death couldn't hold you down. We're gonna lift our voice in victory. We're gonna make your praises loud. Like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how we fight our battles. This is how we fight our battles. This is how we fight our battles.
You are worthy. Hallelujah. From heaven above. The heavenly gift God has imparted to us here today. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, Lord, for your presence, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be able to give here today, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you bless every faithful and cheerful giver and the ones given by faith this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
angels all around. My delight is found in knowing that you wear the victor's crown. You're my help and my defender. You're my savior and my friend. By your grace I live and breathe to worship you. At the mention of your greatness, in your name I will bow down. In your presence fear is silent, for you wear the victor's crown. Let your glory fill the temple, let your power overflow. By your grace I live and breathe to worship you. Hallelujah. You have overcome. You have overcome. Hallelujah.
Victor's crown, you overcome, you overcome. you, Jesus. It's reassuring to know that I am already apprised of the outcome. I already know the winning side. I already know that in Jesus we have victory. Victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. I'm thankful that I already know. I don't have to wonder how it's all going to end. I already know. He wears the victor's crown. God bless you for standing. You all may be seated except for Mason Dole and Kara Krieger. Today is a milestone in these young people's life. This afternoon they will be graduating high school, and as a church we want to publicly acknowledge that and give them applause for making it through. Mason and Kara, we love you, and we're so grateful you guys are a part of this church. And they are having, I'm sure you'll see the invites on Facebook. They're having separate parties and, you know, all that, you know, good times where you can come. And I'm sure they'll take cards and money. I've never known a young person that refused money. And so we're going to celebrate with them at those particular times. But I just wanted to have you stand and publicly acknowledge your achievement today. And God bless you. One more time, why don't you give them applause? You can be seated. God bless you. To have in service with us Dorothy, who is a grandmother, Mason, mother of Sister Angela Dool, and Mark. It's always good to have you in service with us. I often try to get him to preach, but he snuck in on me, and I should have known he was coming. I asked him, would you be willing to greet this congregation? He said certainly. So Brother Damron, I want you to come, and no stranger to the people of this church, long as he grew up here. And we just want him to come. And if he wants to preach, that's fine with me, too. I don't got no problem with that. But Brother Damron, we love you, man. Come on.
Praise the Lord, church. It's always good to come back to Sandwich. Every time coming into 34, driving through Salmonok, pulling into Sandwich, I feel like I'm going so slow because I'm used to the highways in St. Louis. But driving down that 34, you just reflect, and now that I'm a few years removed from graduating high school, Sandwich has a special place in my heart. It seems like life slows down a little bit, and I reflect and I realize that this, in fact, was a great place to grow up. Small town, a great church, amazing people that hold a special place in my heart. I love all y'all. A lot of you played a big part in my life growing up in church, from those who taught Sunday school all the way up to Brother Davis, the countless lunches we went to the relationship I built with the Wells since I've been gone. Sandwich has been blessed, amen? I thought Brother Wells might ask me to say something, so I was trying to come up with a thought of what I wanted to say, and kind of want to piggyback off of what Sister Davis said earlier. We live in a very affluent country, whether we realize it or not. We're a very blessed people. A lot of times, the trials we think we're going through, really, those are trials that we've made up in our head. The trials between our ears, it's our thoughts that make us think we're going through a trial. It's said that comparison is the thief of joy. I find a lot of times, maybe not you, but me personally, that's when I think I'm going through a trial. When I compare myself to what others have. Maybe it's finances, maybe it's cars, houses. Maybe it's not finances at all. Maybe it's relationships. A lot of my friends are married, they have kids. They're in another stage of life. Sometimes we find ourselves in that situation where we compare ourselves and we think we're going through a trial, but when in reality, we're a blessed people. It's said that if you make $34,000, you know that you're in the top 1% of the entire world. And say, Mark, I don't make $34,000. Well, maybe you don't, but guess what? You're probably in the top 2% of 7.5 billion people. We're very blessed. I find sometimes when we compare ourselves, that's when we find these trials, as I was saying. In order to combat that, we have to reflect on how God has blessed us. I'm going to read a scripture for you. It's Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1. It says, to everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under heaven. And you can read a few more verses. It talks about the seasons of life. Sometimes we go through different seasons. And in my short 28 years on earth, I find that if I reflect on the seasons that I've had in my past, it's there that I find gratitude. There's a popular author, her name is Rachel Cruz, and she says, a heart full of gratitude, there's no room for discontentment. When we're thankful for what we have, we don't compare ourselves to others. We're thankful for what the Lord has blessed us with. So my 28 years driving into Sandwich, reflecting on the seasons of my past life, the Lord's been good to me. I grew up with a great family, a great church, great small town. Of course, life happens. Your trial is not my trial. Sometimes we actually do go through trials. To reflect, I've never really spoken about this, but I had a father who was a drug addict and an alcoholic who left my life, and that is a trial. But the Lord brings you through those seasons, and I got an amazing stepdad who has been more of a father than anyone else. Amen. So my point is, maybe you do go through trials, maybe life does happen to you, but sometimes take a minute to reflect. Is this really a trial, or is this something that I built up in my mind? And reflect on those seasons of life. Maybe you're going through a season now that's dry, that's a hardship, but if you reflect on those previous seasons, Lord, you've blessed me, you've kept me, I have a roof over my head. And I actually want to end this today with a call to action. I want us to all bow our heads if we would. I want us to take a second, and like I said, my life's not your life. I want you to reflect on the seasons that God has brought you through. And after we do that, I want us to end in a worship and a thankfulness and a gratitude towards God for what he's brought you through. So let's do that now. Lord, thank you for the things you've brought me through. Thank you, God, that I have a roof over my head. I have clothes on my back, food to eat, Lord, a family to love, friends, Lord, a place to worship you in freedom. Thank you for this great country that we live in, that we can worship you. I know sometimes I get unthankful, God, that I'm not satisfied. I compare myself to what others have. Lord, I don't want to do that. I want to reflect on the gratitude that I have, how you've provided for me. Let's end it in praise, church. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, for how you've blessed me, how you've provided for me, how you've made a way. Lord, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Brother Damron. Such fitting words. I've said it before. It's often in those times in my humanity where I am comparing and I'm looking at other things and I'm making those kind of judgments. It is many times where God will place somebody in my path. And when I look at their situation and their circumstance, I realize just how blessed I am. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Want to remind you of a few things by way of announcement. This evening, we realize we do have some families that will not be able to be with us for reason of graduation. We certainly understand that. But for those of you who can gather together tonight at 6 o'clock, we want to kick off what we're going to be doing during our summer for Sunday nights. As you know, our Sunday nights are a little bit different in our format. We have what's called miscellaneous events, and so through discussion at the department's head meeting and then subsequent time and reflection, prayer, advice, counsel, all that good stuff, I think we've come up with some with a lot of variety that we're going to be able to present on Sunday nights that I hope you'll find engaging and interesting. It's going to be more where the people of the congregation are ministering and being involved. It's going to be not me. I'm not going to be up here doing stuff. I may moderate. I may have, I can't completely let it go, but I'm trying. I'm kidding. But we're going to have a great time together, and we want you to come tonight where we kind of kick that off and kind of flesh that out as to what's going to happen, and we're just looking forward to that together. Next Sunday, I'll be reminded, is Memorial Day weekend. We will not have a PM activity on Sunday night, as is custom when we have a holiday weekend or a holiday on Monday, or like we do on Father's Day and Mother's Day. So we'll have all that together for you tonight, kind of a schedule of events of what's happening and how we're going to make that happen. And we encourage you to come and be a part of that. Why don't you stand right now? If you have your Bibles and you would turn in them with me to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter number 41. Echoing somewhat of what Sister Davis and Brother Damron spoke about, I am a firm believer that this freedom that we have and the luxuries that we so seldom recognize, and our freedom to worship, our freedom of expression, those things that are a part of this American lifestyle, if you will, I do believe that in the not too distant future, at this point in time, there seems to be kind of a return to some extent to righteousness in some sense of the word. But I believe loyalty is proven in the midst of adversity. And I believe that there is a coming a time, I don't know if I'll see it in my day, but I believe I will, where the church will become an object of persecution again. We are seeing some semblance of that happening in our society right now. I believe it is precursor to what will happen. I believe that people who just profess Christianity, they will have to come to a crossroads in their life where they will have to make a decision to stand for it against the rest of the world, if you will, against the opposition that is coming. But this I do know, and this I believe. I believe that if we continue to press, we continue to live for God, He will grant us the grace that is necessary to be able to live in those times. And whether it's in my lifetime or the lifetime of my children or grandchildren, whatever it may be, that God will grant the grace for those who are true in spirit, who desire to live for Him, and then they will be able to stand. Amen? Draw your attention to Genesis chapter number 41. Begin reading in verse number 50. And unto Joseph were born two sons before the years of the famine came, which Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, the priest of On, bare unto him. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh. For God, saith he, hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. The name of the second called he Ephraim. For God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. For God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. Two sons bearing two names, which I believe and I hope to show you via Scripture, means so much to what is exemplified in the life of Joseph. How he overcame adversity. How he flourished, how he thrived, how he, if you will, was fruitful in the land of his affliction. And that's the title of the message I would like to preach this morning, Fruitful in the Land of My Affliction. Fruitful in the Land of My Affliction. Lord Jesus, we love you. We praise you, honor you, thank you for your mercy and your grace. We thank you for this wonderful group of people that has gathered here this morning to lift your name on high, to sing praises to your powerful name, Lord. And we pray that you'd open our hearts and our minds to see within your word. God, scriptures would spell out, God, your will and your way for each and every one of us. We love you, we praise you, we honor you, we thank you for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace. For all that you are and all that you do, in your name that is above every name, in Jesus' precious name we pray. And everybody said, amen. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. Fruitful in the land of my affliction. It's pretty easy to surmise, according to the scriptures, that Joseph, as a young boy, lived a pretty privileged life. Up until about the age of 17, he was undoubtedly, as scriptures would say, the preferred son of Jacob and Rachel. It was not hidden from his siblings that he was daddy's boy. Matter of fact, the Bible lets us know that his father Jacob made for him a coat of many colors, placed it upon his shoulders, signifying that he was special. Because of this speciality, if you will, because of this preferential treatment, the Bible lets us know that his siblings, his brothers, despised him. They hated him, and Joseph made it worse by coming to them and telling them of his dreams. How that there would be a time when his brothers would bow down before him. There would be a time where even his own father would come and make obeisance to him. And he's ridiculed and he's mocked for even talking about these kind of things. But suffice it to say, for the first 17 years of his life, he lived a pretty privileged life. We find that the other sons are out working in the field, but Joseph is at home. Matter of fact, we find that Jacob sends Joseph to find out how they are faring out in the wild. How are they doing? Go see, go check on them. And then we know the chain of events. Many of us know the chain of events that happened as a result of that. He is his way to where they are, and they see him from afar off, and they immediately begin to conspire among themselves, and they desire for him to be gone. They want to be rid of this nuisance. They want to be rid of his daddy's boy. They don't want him coming around and hearing about his dreams. They don't want to have to put up with him. So they purpose to kill him, to slay him, but Reuben steps in and says, no, let's not slay him. Let's just put him in a pit for a while. Put him in a pit, and Reuben leaves. And while Reuben is gone, the brothers, the Bible says, sit down, and they eat bread. And no doubt they're mocking Joseph as he's in the pit that has no water. And they're telling him, boy, you're going to die here. You're going to starve to death. We're not giving you anything, you little brat. And then along comes some Midianites, I believe it was, and they sell him as a slave. 20 pieces of silver. His brothers sell Joseph into the hands of those who would take him down to Egypt, the land of his affliction. We know the story, many of us, how that they take that coat, they take it from off of his shoulders, and they put it in blood, and they bring it back to their father, and they say, is this the coat? And Jacob readily recognizes the coat that belonged to his beloved Joseph, and he begins the mourning, and the Bible says that all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he would not be comforted. He thinks that a beast has slain his beloved son Joseph, and so he goes into a great state of mourning. Joseph, meanwhile, makes his way down into Egypt, the Bible says. And there in Egypt, he is sold at the auction block to Potiphar. And there, Potiphar, he begins to work in his house. And he's a good steward of all that Potiphar has. And Potiphar puts many things into his charge and tells him, this is all yours. You deal with it as you see fit. But just so happens that Potiphar's wife takes a liking into Joseph, and she wants him to commit fornication with her, and she asks him to lie with her, but he refuses and said, how can I do this thing and sin against God? And she tries again and again, and day after day she beckons unto him, but he resists the temptation, and at one point in time she catches him and removes his coat again, holds it up and signifies it, lies and says that Joseph tried to force himself upon her. So now Joseph is taken and he's put into a prison. First 17 years were glorious and wonderful preferential treatment, but now a slave, and then now furthermore now a prisoner. The dungeon, he once again excels. He once again rises to the occasion. He begins to be a helper and a keeper, and they put trust in him, and there is thrown in prison with him. Many of us know the story, the chief butler and the chief baker, and they have dreams, and Joseph tells them of their dreams and the interpretations thereof, and those interpretations come true. Joseph says, hey, remember me. When you go and you're reinstated before Pharaoh, remember me and tell him about me. The butler does no such thing. Matter of fact, some years go by. If we look at what the scripture tells us, he was at the age of 17, it seems, was placed into the pit. And then for the next 13 years, he's unlucky. For the next 13 years, slavery and prison. And at the age of 30, Pharaoh has a dream. He calls forth all his magicians and his soothsayers and all those that would be able to tell him his dream or the interpretation thereof, and none of them can do it. Finally, the butler remembers what transpired in prison with this man named Joseph, this Hebrew. And so he comes before Pharaoh and says, Pharaoh, I had a dream while in prison when you cast me therein. And this Hebrew, he told me the interpretation thereof, and it's come true. I stand before you now. He's able to tell the interpretation of dreams. Call him before you. And the Bible says that at age 30, Joseph stands before Pharaoh. Pharaoh gives Joseph the dream, and he tells him that in this dream there are seven fat cows, if you will, and up from the river come seven skinny and scrawny cows, and they devour the fat ones. And then he sees in the dream there are seven fat ears of corn, plenteous, and then up comes seven scrawny ears of corn, and those seven scrawny ears of corn devour the seven fat ears of corn, and both the kind, the Bible says, are the cows, the cattle, and the corn. Even though they were scrawny and skinny, when they devour the fat, they still stay scrawny and skinny. And he says, I need to know what this means. So Joseph stands before Pharaoh, the mightiest man in all the world at that time, and tells him, your dreams are one. Both of these things indicate that there will be, and I'm paraphrasing, there's going to be 7 years of plenty. You're going to have 7 years where the earth is fruitful and brings forth. But then those 7 years are going to be followed by 7 years of famine. And so you need, during those 7 years that are plenty and fruitful, you need to place someone in charge, someone who is wise and discreet and knows the ways. And you need to put the individual in charge that they would take a portion of that and put it in storehouses and stockpile and save up for the 7 years of famine. And Pharaoh looks around the court and he looks at all the people. He says, can we find such one as wise as this young man? And at that moment, he places his ring upon his finger and says, listen, you will be second to me only in the throne. Whatever you say, whatever you tell somebody to do, they will do. All of Egypt will bow before you now. Just one moment, Joseph goes from being a prisoner to being the second most powerful man in all the world. Joseph is wise, and Joseph does so in those years of plenty. He does, and he begins to store it. And the Bible says that all the world comes to Egypt to buy corn, and all the world comes, so much so that they bring their cattle and say, hey, we need to sell you our cattle so that you can give us corn. And so they sell their cattle, and then the food runs out, and they come and say, hey, we'll give you all of our land. It's not yielding anything. You're the only one with corn. You're the only one with grain, and so we give you the title to our land. And so a mighty nation, an empire, becomes that much more mighty as Joseph is leading Egypt. But it's here. It's in these years of fruitfulness. It's in these years of plenty that Joseph has two sons. At his installment of second in command of all of Egypt, he has given unto him a wife, and through that wife there is born unto Joseph and Asenath, two sons. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for God saith, he hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. The name of the second called he Ephraim, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. See, in those days, names meant something. In those days, you didn't go grab a book of baby names and find something that was cute or trendy. In those days, names meant something. In those days, when you named a child, there was significance attached to that name. There was meaning. It was well thought out. And so Joseph names the first son Manasseh, which simply means causing to forget.
But what's interesting to know is what he says is the reason why he names his firstborn Manasseh. For God, saith he, hath made me forget all my toil in all my father's house. I looked at that and I didn't realize this before. But what Joseph is saying is God had made me forget not only the toil, but he's also made me forget the preferential treatment. Look at what he says. He had made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. In other words, even that good time, even those great times, even those first 17 years that I can look back and be the boy with the coat of many colors and where I had the preferential treatment. I even now, God has caused me to forget both the good and the bad. You see, the past is past, so I won't let what happened yesterday taint my today or my tomorrow. I won't let what happened, whatever may be or whatever was or was, I will not allow that to affect my future. Similar to what Paul wrote the church at Philippi in Philippians 3:13. Brethren, I count not myself to apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before. It's okay to reflect and it's okay to look back, but I can't live life looking in the rear view. I can't live life. I can't be fruitful in my future by looking at what happened in my past. Gotta forget those things which are before. I can't let what was dictate what will be. You see, one of the prerequisites for a fruitful future is a forgetful past. I'm going to say that again. One of the prerequisites for a fruitful future is a forgetful past. I can't go back and change that. I can't. Maybe my circumstances were good. Maybe my circumstances are bad. What are you saying, Joseph? Good or bad? I can't let what happened before affect me now. I've got to forget those things. I've got to let those things go. Maybe I was done wrong. Maybe I was done right. Maybe life was good. Maybe life was bad. It really doesn't matter. I can't let what used to happen or what used to be affect my present. So one of the first things that you and I must do if we're going to have fruitfulness in our life, if we're going to really show forth signs of a changed life, is we cannot dwell on the past. We cannot let what happened or what was a part of our life, we can't use it. We can't say, well, I do this now because of what happened then. Oh, no, no, no. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are becoming new. I'm not going to allow what happened or what was to change who I can be. I will be different. The second son, he names Ephraim, which essentially means double fruit or fruitful. And he says, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. Listen, to grow in good soil isn't so special. To grow where all the nutrients are there and all everything's just right and the soil's readily saturated with water and everything is conducive where it's good and the soil's nice and it's not so special to grow in that kind of atmosphere. Listen, I believe in growth and I believe in the good times and I believe in all that, but you need to understand where to grow where the soil is dry and desolate, to grow in the midst of your affliction. You want to talk about being able to sink some roots deep? When you learn how to be fruitful in the land of your affliction, when you learn how, even though you're going through this and you're dealing with that, you still press on and you still allow God to work in your life. To grow where the best nutrients are and where the elements are conducive to growth, it's not difficult. A lot of people can grow in those conditions. A lot of people can excel when everything's happening the way it should be. But it takes something special. It takes someone with some resolve in their spirit. It takes someone who is determined to be fruitful in the land of their affliction, to grow where it's dry and desolate, to spring forth from soil that is stiff with suffering and void of goodness. You want to talk about special? That's special. when I can be fruitful in the land of my affliction. One of the greatest testimonies of God's power is the perseverance of His saints. I'm going to say that again. One of the greatest testimony of God's power is the perseverance of His saints. That even in the midst of persecution, even in the midst of affliction, they still prosper. Listen, I read my Bible and I find that whenever persecution begins to arise to God's people, whenever famine or whenever things are negative begin to strike against God's people, it is many times, many of those times in Scripture where they begin to revive, where they begin to flourish, where they begin to stand forth and stand out. Those people that press on in spite of the problems, those individuals who in life's dearth still deepen their roots, those who will be fruitful even in the midst of affliction. Listen, Joseph lived for God right in the middle of Egypt. Don't let that escape you. He lived for God right in the middle of Egypt. Egypt has always been a type of the world. Read your word. And Joseph lived for God right in the middle of Egypt. Every time he looked at his boys, they were a reminder of the goodness of God. Every time he looked at his boys, he named them Manasseh and Ephraim because the Lord had caused them to be fruitful in the land of his affliction. The wickedness around him did not wither him. Wow. All the evil that abounded in the nation of Egypt, he somehow rose above. You see, it should be encouraging to you and I that we can be fruitful in the land of our affliction. We can grow when all the elements would indicate otherwise. When it's dry and desolate, I can still grow in God. You realize that Joseph is the only son to have two tribes of Israel attributed to him. He was double fruitful. Only 17 years in his father's house and 93 years in Egypt. He was still fruitful in the land of his affliction. His double portion, this fruitfulness happened in the midst of an evil empire. And at age 110, the Bible records some of the last words of Joseph. They're found in Genesis chapter 50, verses 25 and 26. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. Wait a second. Joseph just said in verse 25 that he'll carry my bones from hence. The Bible says that then Joseph died and 110 years old, they embalmed him and he was put in a coffin. And for 400 years, he remained there. For longer than we have been a nation, Joseph's bones remained in a coffin in the land of Egypt. But I draw your attention to Exodus chapter number 13, verse 19. There is another prince of Egypt, another who was making trek out of the land of Egypt with those that were a product of the fruitfulness in the land of affliction. Stay with me. Exodus 13:19 records this. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones away hence with you. For 400 years, it was passed down from generation to generation. If we ever leave, there's something going with us. If we ever come out of Egypt, there's something we have to take with us. Our forefathers made a promise. Our forefathers swore an oath to a man who flourished in the land of his affliction a long time ago. And if we ever leave here, we have to take something with us. If you read your Bible, you will find that the souls coming into the land of affliction were 70. Catch this. But because one man knew how to be fruitful in the land of his affliction, when they're walking out, the Bible says there is 600,000 footmen. Which means those of soldiering age. So if you put women and children alongside that, a conservative figure is somewhere between 2 and 3 million people. Because someone decided that they would be fruitful in the land of their affliction, because someone decided, I'm not going to let my circumstances dictate my future. I'm not going to let what's happened in my past, good or bad, determine what's going to happen for me in my future. And some 400 years later, they take his bones out of Egypt. You see, you and I have no idea how many lives and futures we will affect by being fruitful in the land of our affliction. I may die in the land of my affliction, but you need to understand, this is not my final resting place. For Joseph's final resting place was in the land of Canaan. I'm closing, you can stand to your feet. At 17 years of age, he's taken into Egypt. For the next 93, he resides in the land of his affliction. But the writer of Hebrews, what is commonly called the faith chapter, Hebrews chapter 11, all the things that he could have penned concerning the great patriarch Joseph, all the things that he could have said in regards to his interpretation of dreams, ability to resist temptation, of all the things that could have been said about Joseph, this is what the writer of Hebrews said in the faith chapter, Hebrews 11. It's found in verse number 22. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel, and gave commandment concerning his bones. Oh, this may be the land of my affliction. I may have to endure trial and tribulation here. I may have to go through circumstance and situation. It may be dry. I may be trying to find fruitfulness. I may, but you need to understand, this is not my final resting place. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. But as long as I'm here, and as long as I have to endure, and as long as I have to deal, you need to understand, I am determined to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. I am determined that even here and even now, I'm going to make a difference, because there are those that are coming behind. Joseph's reputation was so strong and so secure that a commitment that was made 400 years prior, the people are still talking about and discussing, and they keep. And old man Mo, at some 80 years of age, he says, hey, You get all the gold. You get everything you can. You ask, you borrow. You get everything you can from these Egyptians. There's one thing I have to go get. Somehow, some way, maybe it was forgotten. Maybe the Pharaoh who arose, who knew not Joseph, didn't care about the coffin anymore. Didn't care about where it was, but somehow, some way, this secret had remained for 400 years as to where the bones of Joseph were. And somehow, some way, Moses found the bones of Joseph, and he said, "Hey, they're coming with me. I'm bringing the bones of him who was fruitful in the land of his affliction." And they're going all the way to Canaan. And make no mistake, the bones of Joseph were buried in the promised land. Oh, to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. Whatever you're going through, good or bad, whatever circumstances may have brought you to this point, you need to understand there is a God who can do great things in your life. There is a God who can make you fruitful even in the land of your affliction. There is a God who can take you in a day, in a moment, from a prisoner to a prince. You need to understand we serve that kind of God. So whatever situation I'm in, be it good, be it bad, Lord, help me to be fruitful. When I'm afflicted, when I'm suffering, when it's dry and desolate, there's dearth all around, Lord, help me to sink my roots deep and be fruitful even in the land of my affliction. There are those coming behind. I don't know how many generations my life will reach. Lord, I pray that I'm fruitful in the land of my affliction. I don't know how many others will come out of Egypt as a result of my willingness to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. Help me, Lord. While these altars are open, I'll take opportunity, whatever the situation is, whatever the circumstance, Lord, help me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. We forget those things which are behind and press forward into the things which are before. Press toward the mark of the high calling which is in Christ Jesus. Be fruitful in the land of my affliction. Others will recognize. Others will see. The stories will be shared.
Thought by now they'd fall, but you have never failed me yet. Waiting for change to come, knowing the battle's won.
Every time he looked at his boys, it was a reminder of a God who did not fail him. A God who helped him be fruitful in the land of his affliction.
Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness.
His two boys became two tribes of Israel, Ephraim and Manasseh.
I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence.
Because he was fruitful in the land of his affliction. Thank you, Jesus, for the staying power, Lord. Thank you for the power to persevere amidst persecution, Lord. I don't know what tomorrow holds for me. I don't know what next year holds for me. I don't know what persecution may arise in my life. I don't know what affliction may find me, Lord, but help me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. I don't know what's going to happen, Lord, in these remaining years. I don't know what's going to happen in response, Lord, from this world towards the church, but I just trust you.
My heart will sing your praise again.
I can be fruitful in the land of my affliction.
Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never fail. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Faithfulness.
Joseph. The Bible clearly states that Joseph was buried in Canaan's land. History and tradition would state that along with Joseph were carried the bones of his sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. And they all lie. Canaan's land. Because someone was willing to be fruitful in the land of his affliction. In the midst of an evil empire, Joseph stayed true. And if he could, I can. Help me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction, Lord, in the remaining moments of this service. it's true. That matter cannot be created nor destroyed, that it just takes on one form of another. You know what that means? That means it's somewhere in Canaan's land. Somewhere in the promised land right now, there's a flower or a blade of grass or a bush. There is something. Even though thousands of years later and the bones of Joseph have decomposed, understand the matter just keeps going and going and going. So somewhere right now, only God knows, but somewhere right now in Canaan's land is evidence of someone who was fruitful in the land of his affliction. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. Thank you for this time together. Bless us as we depart in your precious name. In Jesus' name we pray. God bless you. You're dismissed. In Jesus' name.